Fear is an interesting topic. The concept of fear, of and by itself. We're all fearful of one thing or another. For me, as irony would have it, I'm afraid of heights. Very true. If I am watching TV where the camera will go to the edge and look down from multiple stories, I will actually feel my stomach drop. I do not like heights. Having fear, though, in this day and age, could be considered as weak. If, for example, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said that we have nothing to fear except fear itself, as in fear is something that is negative. There is definitely an ungodly fear in today's culture and in our history and mankind. Some may say it's maybe a more specific to the U.S., but that I disagree, that it's pretty much in history and throughout all cultures and all nations where fear is used for intimidation, a dictatorship or tyranny, and how people were controlled. So what about fear? What should be our response, our relationship with this this emotion that God did put into us? After all, Proverbs 1, verse 7, for your reference, I'll read it to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That scripture was put outside a plaque at Ambassador College, and it's out at Ambassador Bible Center. It's a memory verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What about fearing God? If you listen to today's Sunday morning messages, sermon circuits, that is, if you watch on TV, I would bet a week's pay that you probably would not hear a sermon on fearing God. That would be. I personally haven't seen one as I've flipped channels on a Sunday morning. So, what should be a Christian's perspective towards the fear of God? And once again, this concept or this emotion of fear. Is fear the proper translation? Is it we're using the wrong English word and there's another word that doesn't really mean fear as we understand fear, but means something else? Well, today I would like to dig into this phrase, the fear of God, why it is important and points on how to develop a healthy fear of God. Of course, the beginning question is, what do you mean fear of God? What do you mean by fear of God when you hear that phrase, when you read that phrase in scriptures? As I mentioned, some say that fear is better translated reverence and awe. When we're talking about a fear of God or a fear of the eternal, that it's not really what we think of fear, but more a reverence and an awe. While the concept around reverence and awe is part of the definition, it's not complete. So let's look at the Hebrew and Greek words in brief and look at a few examples of the application of those words. The first word, from a Hebrew standpoint, or as far as starting in the Hebrew, is from the, if you want to look it up later for Strong's, it's Strong's number 3373 and 3372. It's yirah. It's both an adjective and a verb, and as in fear, fearful and an action. The word is used many times in the context of fear of God, but it's also used in other areas besides fear of God. So let's look at a couple of those. Start in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 in verse 11. Genesis 32 and verse 11. Here Jacob is being quoted. Deliver me, Once again, 32:11. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. It wasn't reverence. It wasn't awe. It was fear, as we understand it. It's fear. Also, let's look at, as another example, Judges chapter 7, and verse 3. Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. Here in the context of Gideon's 300 men that were chosen, just breaking though into the actual verse for the sake of time. Now therefore come, proclaim the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, for Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power, I'm sorry, I skipped the verses there. Whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, but 10,000 remained. Same word there, fear, as in fear of God. Same Hebrew word. It's not reverence and awe. It's a fear. And then also in verse 10 of chapter 7 of Judges. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Pirah, your servant, down to the camp. So that's on the Hebrew side. But we find the same thing on the New Testament side. The Greek that's translated, often translated fear, is phobia. You would should sound rather familiar. Strong's number 5399. Let's look at a couple examples there. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. So New Testament church operating under the New Covenant, Acts 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace being built up, going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. So in the New Testament, in the New Covenant church, it was also a fear of the eternal. Also, we see Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. Talking about Cornelius, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household. Who feared God. Phobia. Now, once again, is it potentially, should be awe and reverence, or what is it? Fear. So let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 and verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you always have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, with fear and trembling. Same word. A fear. Philippians 2, verse 12. So, with fear and trembling. To say or to try to explain the concept of the fear of God into reverence and awe is, as we shall see, is maybe missing a portion of what God intended. And why he gave us this spirit, this emotion of fear. And as we shall say, as we shall see, it's not a question of extremes, but a question of balance. Because as we know and understand in our everyday lives, there can definitely be an unreasonable and an unholy application of fear. So how do we reconcile this? Because once again, this is an emotion that God put into us. In his instructions that we are to fear. How can there be a healthy view of fear beyond the reverence or definition of reverence and awe? Is it possible to have a positive or a healthy fear? Let's look at a few different ways that we can have a healthy fear when it comes to our relationship with God and God himself. How can we fear God in essence in a healthy way? More than just reverence and awe. We can fear the consequences of disobeying God. We can fear the consequences of disobeying God. So let's look back at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. A proclamation, as we see in verse 14, a proclamation from God, from the Eternal, the God of hosts, provided through Jeremiah, and it was, in essence, education. It was warning. And let's start in verse 19 then. It shall come about when they say, why has the Eternal, our God, done all these things to us? Then you shall say to them, as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you will serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, now hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Eternal? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, and an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot cross over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. They do not say in their heart, now let us fear the Eternal our God, who gives rain in its season, but the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowls lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men like a cage full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich. They are fat. They are sleek. They also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, that they may prosper. And they do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Eternal, on a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? The consequences of disobeying God. Part of child rearing is explaining the consequences of our actions. What happens? What are the blessings? What are the wonderful things? And what's the potential? What are the potential not so positive consequences? The proverbial touching a stove or being disrespectful. If we, as Christians, if we do not fear the consequences of disobeying God, we do not fear God. Here, through Jeremiah, it was a question to the nation of Israel that had made a specific covenant with God. For us, it's a spiritual covenant. It is a new covenant. But there are also consequences if we find ourselves separated from God. There are spiritual consequences. And not only in our everyday walk and pursuit of a life that is pleasing to God, but also the potential of turning our backs on God once we have been called. There is, should be, a fear, and not reverence and awe, but a fear of a life apart. Let's look at Psalms chapter 36. Psalms Psalms chapter 36. Psalms 36 and verse 1. Psalms 36 and verse 1. This, by the way, is quoted in Romans 3:18. Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. In this case, there's no concern of the consequences. There's no concern about the wickedness. There's no concern about the effects on others. There's no concern about the path and that it is not good. And this is what David is writing about. So, do we have healthy fear? Do we have healthy fear on the consequences of disobeying God? Do we have the fear of being apart from God? A second fear that we can have is a fear of missing out, a fear of missing out on something special. God has promised us blessings for our sojourn with him. We don't control the what and when and how. For example, Job. If you were to cut off the story of Job halfway through, you would question, you know, what he wasn't blessed with his faith in God. We don't control what, when, and how, but we know that God is going to bless us. We have the wonderful plan of salvation that God has given that says, if you love me, if you obey me, if you are willing to pick up the challenge, if you're willing to be a living sacrifice, if you're willing to enter into that new covenant, I have a wonderful house with these wonderful rooms, with these wonderful opportunities for you to come join me and be a part of a special people. You'd hate to miss out. You know, some personalities are—they're afraid they're going to miss something. You know, if you're whispering a secret or something, well, what's going on? What am I missing? What am I missing? I'm missing something. People have a fear sometimes of missing out, and we should have a healthy fear of missing out. Psalms chapter 115. Psalms chapter 115 and verse 9. Psalms 115 and verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Eternal. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Eternal. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Eternal, trust in the Eternal. He is their help and their shield. Are we missing out on that Holy Spirit and the power and the help that God has promised to us? The Eternal, in verse 12, has been mindful of us. He will bless us. Are we fearful of missing out on the blessings that God has promised? He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Eternal, the small together with the great. Are we fearful of missing out being blessed with those we know and love and dear and we've known for so many years and have gone through so many trials and have walked the walk and have seen it all? Do we want to miss out? Verse 14, may the Eternal give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Eternal, maker of heaven and earth. We should have a healthy fear of missing out. Another fear that we can have a fear of disappointing our Father. We fear disappointing our Father. God lamented over the choices made by Israel. It wasn't a question of using fear for control. God wanted a relationship. God wanted a special bond. That's what he craved. And he lamented, as the minor prophets are full of it, over the choices that were made by Israel. As I grew older, my relationship with my dad changed, where before it was more around consequences. Son, you don't make your bed, or son, you don't take out the trash, or to a question of, as I grew older and that relationship grew, I simply just did not want to disappoint my parents. I kept to the straight and narrow for the most part. And it was oftentimes just this fear of what would mom say? What would dad say? We should have a healthy fear of disappointing our Father. The concept of the fear of the Lord ultimately expresses a reverential submission to the Lord's will. That's, in essence, the fear of the Lord. The concept of fear is definitely more than awe and reverence. It has that portion of the examples of the things that we just went over. In essence, a healthy fear. In addition to reverence, it's a fear of offending God. It's a fear of the consequences of decisions made contrary to God's word. It's a fear of what we're missing when God is not in our lives. That's what we mean by a fear of God, a fear of the eternal. If you want to write these down, there's no need to turn, or if you actually want to turn to Proverbs and follow along, but I'll read these to you in essence, or summarize them for you. But there are seven scriptures throughout Proverbs that show and talk about a fear. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, as we already talked about, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the eternal will cause one to hate evil. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the eternal will prolong life. Proverbs 14:26 and 27, the fear of the eternal provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life. Proverbs 16, verse 6, the fear of the eternal prompts one to depart from evil. Proverbs 19, verse 23, the fear of the eternal leads to a satisfying life and spares us from much evil. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, the fear of the eternal is the way to riches, honor, and life. So the antithesis, the opposite of that, without the fear of the Lord, we close ourselves to the treasure of God's wisdom and knowledge. We will flirt with evil and be corrupted by it. Our lives are likely to be shortened by our refusal to heed God's word. We will not come to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence of our salvation. When fallen into sin, we will not be motivated to repent and turn to God. And we will not be motivated to truly work out our own salvation. Yes, there is a healthy fear of God. So then how do we develop this healthy fear? How do we develop this healthy fear? Because it really is a balance. Because, for example, when we talk about fear and a healthy fear and the fear of God, then one may say, well, wait a second. The Bible's contradictory because all I know is 1 John 4:18. Let's turn there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Which, by the way, the context, if we actually look starting in verse 7, here John, the Apostle John, is in essence writing about love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and anyone who loves is born of God. Then if we skip down to verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. But as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment or suffering, turmoil. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So is this contradictory? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Well, no, the love is, or the question around fear is the Old Testament. That's the mean God, but we now have the loving God. This is the new covenant, and it's not a question about fear, but as we read in John, it's only about love. It's a fair question, a fair point. Or more of a fair question. I wouldn't say it's a fair point. It's a fair question to ask that. But we need to look at it from a few different angles. First of all, in this case, John is not specifically saying perfect love casts out the fear of the Lord. But if we go back to the context, and even in verse 17, what we just read, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because we read in other parts of the New Testament, in Acts, where it talked about the fear of the eternal driving and improving and helping the church. Here, John's not contradicting or saying that the fear of the eternal is being cast out, but just fear itself in context of the judgment day, that we should not fear what will happen. We should not fear what will happen in life if we have this love towards God. And if we have that love of God, then we are not fearful of those traditional things when we talk about fear. How are we going to be clothed? How are we going to be fed? But in verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have seen from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. The fear of God is a foundation. If we want to use an analogy, it's almost like Paul in talking about the foundation, the law being the school teacher. The school teacher, the law teaches. But as he grows and understands and has this relationship with God, he moves beyond the school. That teaching is still there. That school book is still there. The law is still there. But now he is now able to apply God's law. The fear of the eternal is the foundation. But as we develop that relationship with God, it's more giving that analogy of, for example, of our parents. As we grow and develop that relationship, it's now actions and activity based out of a love, more than a fear. However, the need for the ultimate foundation of the fear of God does not go away. And it is that relationship and that balance. Where we read so much in Psalms about the fear of the eternal. Where we can read throughout the Psalms as far as the fear of the eternal, David had a loving relationship. David will have an important part in God's plan of salvation when Jesus Christ returns to earth. It is that balance of and that foundation of fear, but developing into a relationship of love. It's not contradictory. It is not contradictory. Because you can't have an unhealthy fear. If we think about the Israelites, they were instructed, they were told, fear the eternal. But at Mount Sinai, when they had the opportunity to be able to start that sojourn, to start that relationship, it went from a proper holy fear of the eternal to an unholy fear, where they said, Moses, you talk to them. I don't want anything to do with them. There is the difference. There is a difference. And it is a balance. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Because I can't stress this enough about combating, some may say, Old Testament versus New. Nation of Israel was based upon fear, was based upon an iron fist. If you crossed me, I'd send down. God wanted that relationship and provided an opportunity for those who made mistakes to sacrifice the sacrificial system, to be able to go and to repent. Once a year, being able to lay the sins of Israel on the scapegoat and go through the Holy of Holies. He provided that opportunity for ongoing relationship. He wanted that relationship. So when we think of Deuteronomy, or we think about this concept of old and mean and new, and New Testament is all about love, and that's the new thing that Jesus Christ brought, let's go to a book that talks about the law, Deuteronomy, and see what is included about love. Deuteronomy 6, get your pencils ready, get your pens ready. We'll go through it quickly. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the eternal, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. 7, verse 9. Know therefore the eternal, your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Chapter 10 and verse 12. Chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the eternal your God require from you but to fear the eternal your God? Yeah, there you go. Fear. I told you so. That means stuff. To walk in all his ways and love him. To fear him and love him. And to serve the eternal your God with all your heart and with all your soul. 11 verse 1. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, you shall therefore love the eternal your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. 11, verse 13, it shall all come about if you listen obediently to the commandments which I am commanding you today, to love the eternal your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. 11, verse 22, for if you are careful to keep all of this commandment, which I am commanding you to do, to love the eternal, your God, to walk in his ways, and to hold fast to him. Chapter 13 and verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the eternal your God is testing you to find out if you love the eternal your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Chapter 19 and verse 9. Chapter 19 and verse 9. If you carefully observe all this commandment, which I command you today, to love the eternal your God and to walk in his ways always, then you shall add 3 more cities for yourself besides these 3. Blessings. 30, chapter 30 and verse 6. Moreover, the Eternal your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Eternal your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. Verse 16, and that I command you today to love the Eternal your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, that the Eternal your God may bless you in the land which you are entering to possess. Verse 20, by loving the Eternal your God, by obeying his voice and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. I think I need a glass of water. As one employee told me once upon a time, Russ, you're the master of belaboring the point. Deuteronomy is full of scriptures and the emphasis of loving God. Even one verse quoting both to fear the eternal and to love the eternal. So how do we develop a healthy fear of this God? How do we? First, we do it by diving into God's word. We're here in Deuteronomy 31, verse 10. So let's read in verse 10. 31 and verse 10. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of death, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Eternal your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read this law in front of Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the children and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Eternal your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Verse 13, their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Eternal your God as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. So the commandment was into the reading of the law, the reading of the of what God had provided through Moses. We learn to develop a healthy fear of God by diving into God's word, by reading it, by absorbing it. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word concerning Christ, the gospel. We also know and understand that when Paul, at the conclusion of Acts, was talking about taking the gospel to the world, he was reading from the scriptures. And those scriptures at the time, that word was indeed the Old Testament. But now we've got the New Covenant canonized as well. We read the lessons from the scriptures. We read about the encouragement, about God's blessings. We read about the warnings, what happens. To read through the minor prophets, to reflect on that as far as a life separate from God, but also to reflect on how much God cares and loves that he wants to reconcile. All those things helps us to maintain that healthy fear, that proper fear, that godly fear. Another point is to remind ourselves of the consequences and the emptiness of a life apart from God. We especially observe this on the Day of Atonement, but we can and should fast beyond the Day of Atonement. This could be part of that spiritual cleansing. It's interesting how nowadays fasting is so much a part of dieting and health and that physical fasting, but the spiritual fasting is as healthy. It's the the holy days remind us that we need to carry throughout the year. We need to constantly be reflecting, and what would be a life apart from God? It's sometimes I get caught up in this world and I get sidetracked and not doing the things we should do. And it doesn't take too much to sit down and reflect and listen to the news today, listen to the struggles that people have, listen to the challenges that everyone has, not only from a national level, but a local level and an individual level, a family level, of all the challenges that we're facing. And if this was it, if this was eternal or eternity, that's scary. It's sad to think about that, the future and what the future holds with God's plan of salvation for all of mankind, that we can have those relationships and love on each other and grow and laugh and sing, but without all the struggles and trials we had today. We need to remind ourselves of the consequences and emptiness of life apart from God. We develop a healthy fear of God by reflecting on God's wonderful works, His power, and His omnipotence. It's to be through a storm. It's interesting now, being back in Minnesota. I'm mindful from time to time that, thinking about being in Minnesota, that the last time I was in Minnesota, not the last time, because I was over there for Families for God weekend, but before that, for Minneapolis, was to work at a summer camp up in Orr, Minnesota, northern part, and I worked on the canoeing crew, and I would take young whippersnappers out on 4-day canoe trips. And one evening, it was the night before we were to finish our trip and head back in, we're sitting around the campfire when we had an incredible strobe light display in the sky. Flashing of lightning at different paces and different lengths, and it was incredible to see that. And thinking, well, I hope it goes by far enough away from us. So we all headed to our tents and went to sleep. And I had a director of a Jamaican SCP or youth camp with me for that particular trip. He was experiencing it, so he was with me in my tent. And about midnight, the wind started picking up and started blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing. And we were spread out trying to hold the tent down because the winds were blowing so hard. And then suddenly it got quiet. And the director said, "Oh, good, it stopped." No. this isn't the Caribbean. This is not good. And heard the rumbling. It's times like that your prayer life becomes very good. It becomes very powerful. And seeking God is at strengths that are heights that you've never achieved before. So rumbling stopped, it passed on. So we got our flashlights and looked around. Our tent poles are actually bent in an S. So we bent things back. We had lost a canoe. We're going to have to find it tomorrow. So we went back to bed when it happened again. Had another cell come through. So more of this, I want to just jump to the conclusion, not to do any spoilers or not, but I survived. But we got up the next day, stuff was everywhere, it took a long time to collect everything, our canoe had flown out into the lake, was on the other side of the lake, we had to send a party after it and get it and bring it back. But as we left the lake, and I thought, I don't know how far away it was, but after we got after the lake, which was about maybe 200 or 300 yards, we went through a portage and then got back into the river, so it was about a quarter of a mile away, on the side of the bank, where all the trees snapped off. And then not too far, we got to our final portage, was heading up to the parking lot, and there were trees that were dumped over. So the cell, the tornado, went about a quarter mile from us. So yeah, the awesomeness of God's creation, to reflect on how powerful and how omnipotent, helps us to remember and have a proper fear of of the eternal. We have a healthy level of fearing God when we balance it with the love of God, as we stressed before when we read through Deuteronomy. The fear is not the definition. In carnal men trying to apply fear and control people with fear, that's the definition. You want to control people. You want to fear. When we talk about a healthy fear of the eternal, it's the foundation. It's the start. It's something that you build on. You understand and realize, once again, what life is without God, how much we need God, what His Word means, and then you build on that. Then going on to the powerfulness of the love of God. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. Daniel 9 and verse 4. I prayed, here Daniel speaking, I prayed to the Eternal my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Eternal, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant and loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. While we must maintain a proper fear of God, that does not mean we live in fear. As we read in 1 John, it doesn't mean we need to fear what's around us if we are having a proper fear of God. It does not mean we live in fear and that our fear of God keeps us from building a relationship with Him. His authority is not like an authority that has built on fear for intimidation purposes. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 as we start to wrap up. We'll see a couple applications or examples, the contrast of the fear of God and the love of God in the New Testament. It is not, the fear of the eternal is not an Old Testament concept. It is a concept that is consistent with God throughout time. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which we cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and fear, a godly fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or cowardice, but of power and love and sound judgment. We have seen that God has created us in us the emotion of fear, and that a proper healthy fear of God is a necessity for us Christians. It's a necessity for our walk. It's a necessity for our conversion. And it's a necessity for our relationship with God. Not an emotion of cowardice or timidus or an oppression, but an emotion that when combined with the love of God drives us to make good choices, that helps us to strive to please Him and positions us to receive His blessings.